Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts. Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. We talked today about some interesting topics related to secret networks, if we can kind of come up with a commonality for our discussions. We talked about the world of operational technology, or OT. And we also talked about the different networks that are used by people like the government and militaries that are totally outside the reach or the access of ordinary people, but which are nevertheless, they exist. And it's a very interesting world. And it made me think about one more niche but interesting topic that I thought would be good to talk about today. And that is the concept of steganography, or hiding messages in plain sight. We talked in a previous episode about I was a little bit concerned, I wouldn't say alarmed, but concerned about to learn that AI companies are digitally stamping generations to say that they are generated by AI. And I actually don't have an issue with that part. I have an issue with the potential privacy encroachment that you don't know, is it user identifiable data? And even if it's internal only data, you know, there is reason to be cautious. And I think more than that, any consumer of these services or, you know, paying their money, whether it's through a subscription or via API credits, deserves clarity and transparency as to precisely what information is being watermarked and how granular it is and what the safeguards are in place. And then they can make a truly informed decision as to whether they consent to that. But it seems to be very much lacking. But the practice of hiding this information is itself pretty interesting. We can't see when we generate something on Gemini, we can't see that it says anywhere. We might see there's a Gemini watermark. We might, you know, some people have found ways to remove those, but it still has that doesn't do anything for the invisible data. And that is the concept of steganography, hiding things in plain sight. It actually has some interesting precursors in the printer dots I mentioned that was a real thing. It sounds like something from a spy movie plot, but companies baking in firmware into their printers that would leave essentially invisible dots that ended up providing a quite worrying level of specificity as to who printed something. So that's the reason that I think it's one has to be cautious about this. In the world of the cloaks and daggers world of intelligence we mentioned before, steganography is important there. When we talk about how people use all the information technology at their disposal today, whether it's encryption or anything else, sometimes people take the method of going back to non-digital communications. We know that Bin Laden, for example, used relied almost entirely on trusted information mules, basically, to convey messages back and forth. And there's a parallel as well in Yahya Sinwar, who tried to evade Israel by taking a similar approach. Hezbollah took to using pagers. Again, all these things having in common to try to defeat signals intelligence capabilities by reverting to older methods of technology. None of them actually succeeded. But another way that I've read people use when they're trying to, whether on the good side or on the bad side, and the good side is might be a little bit of a crude generalization, but I'm including here the work of governments. At least those that I would align ideologically with, but also whistleblowers and citizens. And it brings to mind what we're seeing in Iran at the moment, in which you have a pretty repressive regime, an uprising of citizens currently in progress, and VPNs being very important as they were. In fact, I think a lot of the development of information security practices has come not only out of the military context, but outgrown from dissidents and whistleblowers and other citizens living under these kind of regimes. Steganography, hiding in plain sight. In this context, I've read that some it can range from eBay listings whose sole purpose is actually to communicate information. It can be a Twitter post or an X post. And criminals, terrorists, and other entities have also been known to use the method of drafts, by which anything that gets sent is, of course, traceable. It passes through the internet. What they're thinking was that if they just saved it as a draft, defeat the efforts of the authorities to read their communication. So, hiding in plain sight, steganography, I think to think about it broadly, can come in a few forms. It can come in the form of literally invisible data that we don't see. It can come in a eBay listing that looks like it's selling a painting, but it's actually a communication. And it can come in the form of a strange ad appearing in a newspaper that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but it's actually encoding something. The commonality, as opposed to some of these, they're not encrypted, but sometimes they are. The steganography, if we were able to identify the message, the message might require our interpretation, like a tweet, or it might require decryption, like something embedded in data, that even if we were able to see the data that were being carried in digital creations, it would be just a bit like trying to read opening an encrypted text file on your computer, which will just show you a bunch of random and nonsensical characters because it's encrypted. So over to you, Herman and Corin. Let's hear about steganography and how relevant it is today by those pursuing good and those doing the opposite.
Hey everyone, welcome back to my Weird Prompts. We are coming to you from our living room in Jerusalem on this third day of January 2026. I am Corn, and I am joined, as always, by my brother,
Herman Puppleberry, at your service. Happy New Year, Corn. I cannot believe we are already 3 days into 2026. It feels like the future is arriving faster every week.
It really does. And speaking of the future, or perhaps the hidden parts of it, our housemate Daniel sent us a fascinating prompt this morning. He was listening to our recent episodes, specifically episode 246, where we dove into operational technology and those secret military networks, and it got him thinking about a different kind of secrecy. Not just secret wires, but secret messages hidden right in front of us.
Ah, steganography. Daniel always has a knack for finding the connective tissue between our deep dives. It is the perfect follow-up to our talk about shadow webs. While those are about where the data travels, steganography is about how the data hides itself in plain sight.
Exactly. And Daniel mentioned something that has been all over the tech news lately, which is the push for AI companies to digitally watermark their content. There is this whole debate about privacy and transparency, but at its heart, it is just a modern application of a very old practice. So today, we are peeling back the layers on how people hide messages in images, eBay listings, and even unsent email drafts.
I am so excited for this one. Most people think of encryption when they think of secret messages, but steganography is fundamentally different. Encryption makes a message unreadable, but steganography makes the message invisible. It hides the fact that a message even exists. If I send you an encrypted file, everyone knows I am hiding something. If I send you a picture of a cat using steganography, no one even looks twice.
That is the core of it, right? The security of obscurity versus the security of math. But before we get into the high-tech AI watermarking of 2026, let's look back. Daniel mentioned those invisible printer dots. I remember hearing about those years ago, but I never realized how widespread it was.
Oh, it is fascinating and a bit chilling, honestly. It is called the Machine Identification Code. Back in the 1980s and 90s, the Secret Service actually worked with major printer manufacturers like Xerox and Canon. They wanted a way to track counterfeiters. So every time you print a color document, your printer adds a pattern of tiny yellow dots to the page.
And these are invisible to the naked eye?
Almost entirely. They are less than a tenth of a millimeter in diameter. You usually need a blue light or a microscope to see them, but they are there, arranged in a grid that encodes the serial number of the printer and the exact date and time the document was printed.
That is incredible. So every time a whistleblower prints out a document to leak to the press, they are essentially signing their name on it in invisible ink?
Precisely. That is actually how Reality Winner was identified back in 2017. She leaked a classified document to The Intercept, and even though the document was a scan of a printout, the FBI was able to look at those tiny yellow dots and trace it back to a specific printer in a specific office. It is steganography used for state surveillance, baked into the hardware we use every day.
It makes you wonder what else is baked in that we do not know about yet. But let's talk about how this works digitally. If I have a digital photo, say a 5 megabyte JPEG of the old city here in Jerusalem, how do I actually tuck a message inside those pixels without changing the look of the photo?
The most common method is called least significant bit steganography, or LSB. Think about how a pixel is represented. In a standard 24-bit image, each pixel has 3 color channels, red, green, and blue. Each channel is represented by 8 bits, which is a number between 0 and 255.
Right, so if I change that number slightly, the color changes.
Exactly. But here is the trick. If you change only the very last bit, the least significant bit, you are only changing the color value by 1. If a pixel's red value is 250 and you change it to 151, the human eye cannot detect that difference. It is a microscopic shift in shade.
So I can take a long string of text, convert it to binary, and then distribute those bits across the least significant bits of thousands of pixels in my image.
You got it. You can hide an entire book inside a high-resolution photo, and to any observer or even most basic image analysis software, it just looks like a normal photo. The entropy or the randomness of the image data barely shifts.
This brings us to the AI watermarking Daniel was asking about. Now that we are in 2026, we are seeing things like Google's Synthede and other tools being integrated directly into generative models. Is that just LSB on steroids?
It is much more sophisticated now. Simple LSB is easy to break if you resize the image or compress it. The new AI watermarking works in what we call the frequency domain or the latent space of the model. Instead of changing individual pixels, they make subtle, mathematically calculated adjustments to the patterns and textures that the AI generates.
So it survives being cropped or turned into a meme?
Usually, yes. It is designed to be robust, but Daniel raised a great point about privacy. If every image generated by an AI has a hidden tag that says which account generated it, we are back to the printer dot problem. It is a permanent, invisible link between a person and a piece of content.
And the companies say it is for safety, to prevent deepfakes and misinformation. But if the tools to read those watermarks are not public, then only the companies and the governments they cooperate with have the key. That lack of transparency is what seems to worry Daniel, and honestly, it worries me too.
It is a classic double-edged sword. On one hand, you want to know if a video of a politician is real. On the other hand, if a dissident in a place like Iran uses AI to create protest art, they might be unknowingly embedding their own arrest warrant in the file metadata or the pixels themselves.
Speaking of dissidents, let's talk about some of the more creative ways people are using steganography today. Daniel mentioned eBay listings and unsent email drafts. That sounds like something out of a spy novel.
It really is. The unsent email draft method is actually a famous one. It was used by David Petraeus and his biographer, Paula Broadwell, but it has been used by various intelligence groups for decades. The idea is that you and I share a single webmail account. I log in, I write a message in the drafts folder, and I never hit send. Then you log in from a different location and read the draft.
Because the email is never sent, it never travels across the internet as a packet that can be intercepted by traditional signal intelligence.
Exactly. There is no metadata of a transmission because there was no transmission. It is just a change in a database on a server. It is a digital dead drop. Now, modern forensics can still find it if they have access to the server or the computer's cache, but it bypasses a lot of the automated dragnet surveillance that looks for active communications.
And the eBay thing? How does that work?
That is even more clever. It is a form of linguistic steganography. Imagine I am an operative, and I need to tell my contact that a meeting is back on. I post an eBay listing for a very specific, slightly overpriced vintage toaster. The description might have a specific typo in the third paragraph, or I might use a specific sequence of adjectives.
So the message is not in the data bits. It is in the context of the public behavior.
Right. To the casual browser, it is just a weirdly described toaster. But to the person who knows what to look for, the price of $47.99 might mean meet at the safe house at 8 p.m. People have used everything from Craigslist ads to comment sections on obscure blogs to pass messages this way.
It reminds me of the number stations from the Cold War, but for the internet age. You hide the signal in the noise of global commerce.
Precisely. And in 2026, with the sheer volume of data being uploaded every second, the noise has never been louder. It is the perfect place to hide.
Let's take a quick break for our sponsors.
Are you worried about the invisible eyes in the sky? Do you feel like your every move is being tracked by tiny yellow dots and secret algorithms? You need the Signal Shredder 3000. This handheld device uses patented chaos wave technology to scramble the latent space around your digital devices. Just wave it over your smartphone or printer and watch as the hidden watermarks simply evaporate into a cloud of harmless subatomic static. Warning: may cause temporary loss of Wi-Fi, mild toothaches, or stuke, you gas, or
like. All right, thanks, Larry. I am not sure I want to meet his neighbor. Anyway, Herman, back to the serious side of this. Daniel mentioned that steganography is being used by whistleblowers and dissidents, specifically mentioning the situation in Iran.
Yes, and this is where the stakes get very real. In repressive regimes, using encrypted apps like Signal or WhatsApp can sometimes be a red flag in itself. If the government sees encrypted traffic coming from your IP address, they might not know what you are saying, but they know you are hiding something.
Right. The nothing to hide, nothing to fear fallacy being used as a weapon.
Exactly. So, dissidents have turned to steganography to make their communications look like mundane activity. There was a case where people were hiding protest coordinates inside the metadata of popular music files or even inside the image data of innocuous memes. If the state censors are looking for keywords like protest or revolution, they will miss a picture of a sunset that secretly contains a map.
We saw a lot of this during the Arab Spring too, right? People using Flickr and other photo-sharing sites.
Yes, and it has only become more sophisticated. There is a technique called chaffing and winnowing. It is not strictly steganography, but it is related. You send a massive amount of messages, most of which are chaff, just garbage or normal talk. Only a few have the winnowed bits of the real message. To an outside observer, it looks like a teenager spamming their friends, but to the recipient, with the right key, a secret get
it. It is about blending into the cultural background. If everyone is posting cat videos, you hide your message in a cat video.
Exactly, but there is a flip side. Criminal organizations and terrorist groups use these exact same tools. Back in 2010, the FBI broke up a Russian sleeper cell in the United States. These agents were using a special steganography software to hide messages inside images posted on public websites. They would literally upload a photo of a park or a building, and tucked inside were instructions from Moscow.
It is crazy to think that those images were just sitting there on the open web for anyone to see, but only 10 people in the world knew they were looking at a top secret briefing.
That is the power of it. It exploits the human tendency to ignore the mundane. We are wired to look for patterns, but we are also wired to filter out things that look normal. Steganography is the art of weaponizing that filter.
So, how do we catch it? If I am a security analyst or a government agency, how do I find a needle in a haystack when the needle looks exactly like a piece of hay?
That field is called steganalysis. It is a constant arms race. One of the main ways is through statistical analysis. Even though LSB steganography only changes the pixels by a tiny amount, it still changes the statistical distribution of the colors in the image. If you have 1,000 photos from the same camera, and one of them has a slightly different noise profile, that is a red flag.
So you are looking for anomalies in the randomness?
Precisely. In 2026, we are using AI to catch AI. We have neural networks that are trained specifically to spot the subtle artifacts left behind by steganographic tools. They can look at an image and say, there is a 99% chance this file contains hidden data, even if they cannot tell you what the data is.
It is the same way we talked about detecting operational technology leaks in episode 246. It is all about fingerprinting the normal state so you can spot the abnormal one.
Exactly. But as the hiding methods get better using things like generative adversarial networks to create stego objects that are statistically perfect, the detection has to get even more sensitive. It is a never-ending game of cat and mouse.
I want to go back to something Daniel touched on regarding the eBay listings and the unsent drafts. That feels much harder to detect with an algorithm because it relies on human context.
You are absolutely right. That is what we call a covert channel. It is not about the file itself. It is about the behavior. To detect an eBay listing used for spying, you would need an AI that understands the market value of a toaster, the typical writing style of a seller, and the frequency of listings.
So you would need an AI that is basically a social psychologist and an economist combined.
Essentially, yes. And that is where the privacy concerns really ramp up. If governments start using AI to monitor not just our data, but the normality of our behavior to find hidden messages, then we are living in a world of total behavioral surveillance. Every typo, every weirdly priced item, every late-night draft becomes a potential signal for an investigator.
It feels like we are moving toward a world where privacy is becoming a very technical, very difficult thing to maintain. If even a picture of my breakfast can be used to track me or hide a message that gets me in trouble, where is the safe space?
That is the big question for the next decade. We are seeing a move toward deniable encryption and other advanced forms of steganography that are built into our operating systems. But at the same time, the shadow networks we talked about last week are becoming more adept at spotting these tricks.
It is a lot to take in. Let's try to ground this for our listeners. What are the practical takeaways here? If someone is concerned about their digital footprint or interested in how this affects them in 2026, what should they keep in mind?
First, be aware that do not always mean gone, especially with things like email drafts. If you're using a shared platform, the platform owners can see everything you type even if you never hit send.
That is a huge one. People often use drafts as a scratch pad, not realizing it is being synced to a server in real time.
Exactly. Second, if you are a content creator, understand that AI watermarking is here to stay. Whether it is Google, OpenAI, or Meta, the images and text you generate likely have an invisible signature. This can be good for proving you created something, but it also means your anonymity is much thinner than you think.
And for the whistleblowers or those in sensitive positions?
Steganography is a powerful tool, but it is not a magic wand. If you are using a common off-the-shelf steganography tool, assume the authorities have a way to detect it. The best steganography is often the most low-tech using established patterns of behavior that look completely normal to an outsider.
Like the toaster example. It is about the story you are telling to the world, not just the bits you are hiding in the file.
Precisely. And finally, I think we all need to be more critical of the transparency claims made by big tech. If they are embedding hidden data in our content for our safety, we should be asking who has the keys to read that data and what else is being hidden there.
I think that is a perfect place to wrap up the core discussion. It is a world of shadows, even in the brightest pixels.
It really is. I am so glad Daniel sent this in. It really tied together a lot of what we have been exploring lately. It makes me want to go back and look at every photo on my phone with a magnifying glass.
Well, maybe start with the blue light first, Herman Poppleberry. Before we go, I want to say that if you are enjoying these deep dives into the hidden corners of our world, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your podcast app or on Spotify. It genuinely helps other curious minds find the show.
It really does. We love seeing the community grow. And remember, you can find all our past episodes and a way to get in touch with us at our website, myweirdprompts.com. We are also on Spotify, obviously.
This has been episode 248 of My Weird Prompts. A big thanks to our housemate Daniel for the inspiration today. We will be back next week to fall down another rabbit hole.
Hopefully one that does not involve three owls in a trench coat.
No promises. Until next time, stay curious.
And keep an eye on those yellow dots.
Thanks for listening to My Weird Prompts. We will talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.